Let me get you into your Old Testaments tonight to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We will be settling in a particular psalm for our reading tonight, but we will begin with some observations from Solomon's letter, Ecclesiastes 11. You know, it's no surprise if you are a member of this local work or if you visit here frequently that we have a lot of young people, a lot of young believers, a lot of ones in our little classes who are learning a lot about God and about the Bible. We have a large junior high class, really large high school group, and a great many young adults and college students who worship here. And I know as a parent and as a friend to many of them, if not all of them, I just want them to live holy lives. Anything that I can do to encourage them to live lives that are holy to the Lord at every step and stage, I want to do. And I also, and I know you back me on this, we want to equip them as well. We want to teach them how they can do that. We want to give them the right kind of advice so they'll know how to make decisions and they won't have to face all the pitfalls that some of us did face and wish that we hadn't. And so tonight I'm going to spend a few minutes and talk about what are some things that our young people need to know and embrace in order to live lives of purity. You probably will find that these are ageless truths that will help you at any age. I have to admit, though, Solomon's advice in Ecclesiastes 11 is maybe just slightly sketchy. It's good, and it's right, and it's from the Spirit, but when you read it, it certainly has this kind of young people green light message to it. Solomon was addressing young people in chapter 11 before he addressed older people in chapter 12, and he tells young men, so all young people might listen up for this, he said, you need to rejoice. Young men, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of your young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet, and he adds this little asterisk to the end, know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. What do you guys think about this advice? Here's what you need to do, young people. Live a joyful, rejoicing life. In fact, verse 10, let the grief go, the anger go from your heart, let all those things go. You need to figure out what are the impulses of your heart, chase those impulses. What are the desires of your eyes, engage in those things. While also, of course, knowing that God is watching, but it sounds a little loose, doesn't it? And really, this whole chapter kind of has that just go out and test things spirit to it. In verse 1, he says, cast your bread upon the waters. He's saying, take some chances. Try some new things. Don't be scared of everything. Don't live in perpetual fear. Cast your bread out upon the waters, because verse 2, you don't know what's going to happen. Verse 5, you don't know what's going to happen. Verse 6, you don't know. You don't know how you're still young. You don't know how your life's going to work out. You don't know if you're going to catch all the breaks, you're going to miss all the breaks. So be optimistic, be opportunistic, follow your heart, follow your eyes, and keep God in mind. I mean, I like the advice, but I don't know if that's exactly how I would give it to my kids. And I have a couple who have sort of are almost done kind of growing up, and a couple more going through. Like, is this the advice you give your kids? Follow your heart and your eyes, and remember God. I don't know. I kind of think we say, you know, sort of follow your heart, but don't always follow your heart. Kind of pursue what you like, but not always. But I'll tell you what I think's going on here. Solomon wrote this letter, and when he tells our young people to follow your heart and eyes, he is talking to young people who love God's Word. If our young people love God's Word, if our young people love to read God's Word, love to learn God's Word, love to dig into God's Word and apply God's Word. If you are someone who, chapter 12, of course, verses 13 and 14, you are someone who fears God and you keep His commandments. You read those commandments and you learn them and you keep them and they guard your heart, then go out and live amazing lives. Rejoicing, taking chances. If your heart burns for it, then go for it in the name of the Lord. And in a heart that loves God's Word. And I think that's where we can get away from this really cautious, pessimistic thing with our kids. Be careful of everything you do. Be careful of everything you try. Always tell yourself no. Lock yourself down. I don't think that's good advice for our kids. I think it's love God's Word and then go out and live the most amazing life possible. You see that? It's freeing. It's open. It's optimistic. And I'll tell you why I think he's getting at that. Not only because of verses 13 and 14, where he has already warned them to remember that God is watching and God's judgment is coming. That's already in this verse. But again, he also says God will bring every act of judgment, whether good or evil. So make sure you keep his commandments. But here's the other thing. If I ask you to give me the verse, the psalm, the one psalm, about how our young people can go out and build careers and have families and engage in all kinds of things and follow their hearts and it all go well, what verse would you give me? Go with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. This is probably the verse that most often comes to mind. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Now, I read a couple of things about Psalm 119. I won't go all night on this, but it is a very interesting psalm. First of all, it's enormous. It has 176 verses. We have a daily Bible read in the back, and we broke it into four pieces. And most of us, or a lot of us, read it this last week. It has 176 verses. It is broken into 22 sections. Mitch, do you know why it's broken into 22 sections? I bet you do. The Hebrew alphabet, our alphabet has, I'm homeschooled, there's 20-something letters. It's 26. They had 22 letters. So each one of these sections represented one of the Hebrew letters. You may even have the little designations, the Aleph and the Beth and the Gimel and the Daleth. You may even see those. And this is what's called an acrostic psalm, and it's really fascinating because all eight of the first verses, do you see them? All eight of the first verses in the Hebrew all started with the first letter. So they took the first letter of their alphabet and they started eight straight verses with that letter. And then they went to the second section and they started all eight verses in Hebrew with the second letter. This was a tool used, really cool tool, to teach young people the alphabet. Can you think of a better way to teach young people the alphabet? Imagine if this had 26 sections and verse 1, 2 down to 8 all started with the letter A. And verses 9 through 16 all started with the letter B. And verses 17 and all the way through. And that's how you taught your kids the alphabet. They learned A by reading. A, blessed, I don't know how to put the A in there. But that's the way it was written. And what's interesting is there's some kind of old tradition, like some Eastern Orthodox tradition, that suggests in their records that David taught Solomon his alphabet with this psalm. That Solomon learned the words and how to use them by studying these things. So when Solomon writes, young people, follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. He was raised for his heart to be wrapped in Scripture. And for his eyes to always be looking upon the Word of God. And so here's what we want to do tonight. On the surface, I just want to suggest Psalm 119 to you. There are 176 verses, 174 of them have a reference to the Word of God in it. It's really, really interesting. We are going to look at six sections tonight. That's the first six sections. Eight times six. Those are the amount of verses we're going to study tonight. We will not look at all 22. And you will see great references to the Word of God. Ultimately, verse 9, young people, keep your way pure by keeping it according to the Word. But what I think you'll find fascinating is there's a lot more going on here than just study the Word of God. So what we're going to do for a little bit is we're going to read together. I have six slides here. This has the first eight verses and we'll move through. But I thought it might be interesting and helpful and beneficial to have some of our young men read these verses for this congregation. To set an example of exactly the kind of way we want to lead with Scripture and wrap our minds around it and our hearts around it. So I'm going to give it over to Colton and he's going to read the first eight verses of Psalm 119.
Good evening. So, Psalm 119, we're going to start in verse 1. So, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in all His ways. You have ordained their precepts, that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with an uprightness of heart when I learn your righteousness or your righteous judgments. I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly.
Now, a couple of things I want you to note on the overhead is that we have highlighted in brown all of the reference to the Word of God. And so he read eight verses. He referenced the Scripture in all eight of those verses, which is the first thing I want you to notice. Also, you can pick up these slides in the back when you leave, and they're printed up exactly as you see here. It's a chance we may have trimmed off a word or two putting this together, but it's basically all there. Now, here's what we want to do. We could just have them come up one at a time, and we could read these verses in sections, and you would keep getting the same message. God's word is good. Verse 1, you want to walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 2, you observe his testimonies. Verse 4, he's ordained your precepts, and on and on. What I want you to notice tonight, I think, is something interesting, though. Something that I did differently reading through Psalm 119 this year than any previous year is I noted that each section had a specific point or element it was trying to implement. And I want you to see that. So for Colton's read, there's some general ideas, verses 1 through 8, about keeping the Lord's statutes. But there's also something that jumps out at me. I want you to notice that it's not just telling young people to keep the word. It's having young people observe others who are keeping the word. Verse 1 said, how blessed are those whose way is blameless. Verse 2, how blessed are those who observe his testimonies with all their heart. They do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. We should keep them diligently. One of the messages I would give for our young people is not just to read the word and try to live a righteous life, but I want you to observe the righteous people in this church building around you who are living righteous lives. I want you to peek around. Can you peek at any? You see any in front of you or around you? Do you see any families who have chosen to follow the way of God and have built righteous, holy, encouraging, fruitful, purposeful lives? This building is filled with people who have chosen the right way. So when we tell young people, hey, you need to read the word, what I want young people to do is I want them to look at those they know who are keeping God's word. I want them to spend a little time with Larry. I'm going to say it low so he can't hear me, with Larry. I want you to spend a little time with the Stevens family. I want you to hang out with Sally and Tony. I want you to see people who have decided that life is worth the living in the faith. They have hope. They have blessings, they have purpose, and they have joy. And so by looking at how the word has helped people, it can give you a lot of the faith that you need to reach to the word for your own help. Each one of these sections emphasizes something unique, kind of like I've showed you here. And we're going to work our way through and look at all of those for these six sections. So I'm going to turn it over to Tate to read verses 9 through 16.
The passage we will be reading from is Psalms 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from my commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes, and I will not forget your word.
One thing to note, and I think you can see it on the overhead, is we put in red all of the references to the heart. There are many references to the heart in this psalm. And we saw some of those in this read twice. And as the eyes start to appear, you'll see those as well. Remember, Solomon said, follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. But what we're doing is we're wrapping our heart around the scripture, as Tate just read for us, specifically verse 16. I delight in your statutes, and I shall not forget your word. And that makes all of our decisions better. But what I want you to note is something unique about this section in this particular version. The first section said, look at older people who are faithful and the lives they've built and seek to emulate them. This is something a little bit different, though. I want you to notice some past tense business going on here. I've got to remember to turn this on. In this version, in verse 10, it says, with all my heart I have sought you. Verse 11, your word I have treasured. With my lips, I have told all of your ordinances. Verse 14, I have rejoiced. I want you to notice how much of this little section is in the past tense. And so here's something else I would tell our young people. When you're in high school or college or you're building your career,
or you're getting married. It's one thing for me to say, hey, you need to begin embracing the word and doing what's right and seeking what's right. But you know what the truth is in this building of most of the people here who were raised as Christians? There has already been time in your youth and in your past when you did treasure the word of God. If there's someone in the room right now in their late teens or 20s going, I don't know if I treasure the word of God anymore, I would say, remember when you did? Do you remember when you loved the word? Do you remember in the past when you sought it, when you treasured it, when you shared it? I remember I've seen a few young people grow up throughout the years of preaching and teaching, and I've seen a couple of boys grow up and fall away, and I remember when they were 10, 11, 12 years old, they sang so loud we had to tell them to turn it down. They loved to sing. They loved to learn the Bible. They loved to answer Bible questions. They became 13, 14, 15, and something began to change. And their eyes turned away. I wouldn't tell them, hey, you need to go discover the Bible. I would say, you need to go rediscover your own history. Rediscover your own relationship with the Word. Look back at what you were and the decision that you made. And you know how it is with baptism. We have a lot of young people, we baptize them kind of young, and it's because they know the truth and they want to obey the truth. And then they turn 20 and they just run from it. What's the message for them? The message is, remember when you treasured it? Remember when you loved it? The truth is, the direction that many people need to fix their future is already in the decisions they made in their past. We just need to return to the old ways. Young people, you should be very grateful if you were raised among God's people. Because there have been many times in your life when you have already sought what is good. And I would just remind you that you shouldn't let that go. Go back and grab what you already know to be true. I'm going to turn it over to Taylor for our next section.
Verses 17 through 24. Deal generously with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. I am a stranger on the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul is crushed with longing for your ordinances at all times. You rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from your commandments. Take disgrace and contempt away from me, for I comply with your testimonies. Even though rulers sit and speak against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my advisors.
So this is a really interesting process, because if I sent you home with no boxes and said, read each section and find some unique observation you're being asked to make, we might come up with different things, but I'm the guy preaching, so you're going to hear mine. Section 1, we already studied. In section 1, look to those who are faithful and follow in their footsteps. Section 2, look to your own past and the good decisions that you've pre-chosen to make. Section 3 asks us to do something a little bit different. And for the first time, it says, let's take a look at the world. Let's take a look in verse 19 and realize that we have chosen to be strangers in the earth. You are different than the people who roam the earth. We are different than those who are in the world. There is a difference between us. Part of that in verse 21 is that some are arrogant and cursed and they wander away from the commandments. The world of sinners is cursed by God because they run from His will. There has to be some distinction among our Christian young people that there are Christians and there is the world and they're different. And honestly, I think those lines are getting blurred among a lot of young people in the church. For a lot of young people, even in the church, when they are at school, when they're in the sports stuff, when they're at work, they look like the world, they sound like the world, they act like the world. Like there's not really a world and a believer. What I would want young people to know is God wants you to look at the world and go, there's a world out there that I am a stranger to. They are arrogant and cursed. They sit and sin and talk against me. They will oppose you, but God will rebuke them, verse 21. I know we don't talk about this probably enough, but Jesus is coming back. And when He does, He's going to separate those who are of the world from those who are of Christ. And there will be a distinction. And what I would want our young people to do, and it's been interesting with Luke at college and some of the kids in high school and kind of like seeing all the young people in the classrooms and kind of beginning to see a distinction between those who are just living for the world and those who have some love for God. You need to make that distinction and then decide which one you're going to be. Which one are you? Are you the people of the world The people who are strange to God and set to be rebuked by God, or are we the people of God? So I look at Christians for encouragement. I look to my own past for renewal, and I look to the world to decide what we don't want to be. There has to be a distinction. And so this psalm is asking you to love God's Word, but part of loving God's Word is it helps to make sure that you are not like the world, who do not love the Word of God. Luke?
Let's start in verse 25. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have told of my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false way from me, and graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart.
At probably the only point in the remainder of this lesson, I am going to read some text from the New Testament. So I just want you to listen as we take the section that was just read, and we'll make a notation on what's there in just a moment, and I want to add to it what James wrote for just a moment. Listen carefully, and maybe you'll even see it in the notations. Verse 6 of James 4, he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. James 4 and verse 10. And he will exalt you. I want you to know that as the psalmist is moving along and he looks back to himself, he seems to have learned some things because he expresses a great sense of humility. How you see yourself on the scale of here to here and how that relates to others and to God is a very big deal. And in this text, he opens up verse 25 by saying, let me tell you where I am. I'm cleaving to the dust of the ground. And I am asking God, verse 25, to revive me. Verse 28, my soul weeps. I'm weeping because of grief. I'm weeping because of my own sin. I'm weeping because of the mistakes that I made. They're crushing me. Lord, will you strengthen me? Verse 29, I'm humble enough and honest enough. And this is a special trait. You talk about few will enter and many will be lost. Here's a special trait. Not only humble enough to cleave to the dust and ask for revival, but 29, to admit that I have gone the false way. I have made mistakes. I am wrong. And so as a result of that, we ask God to graciously grant me guidance and your law. What the psalmist is doing is he's talking about a state of humility that understands your need for God, goes to God to be lifted up, admits when you're wrong, and asks for restoration in a power that's greater than yourself. You know, it seems unfair to challenge our young people with this because some of us don't grow out of it. But there comes this point in life where you just decide that you know everything. Everything you think is right because you think it. And in any argument, there's a way that you can win because you're a winner. And what we learn to do is exalt ourselves above others. And sometimes when we grow a little older, the world teaches us that we need humility and that we don't know everything and that sometimes we are wrong. And what I would appeal to our young people to do is please, please, in your youth, when you have the most energy you're ever going to have, and you're making decisions that will literally shape the rest of your life, sometimes unchangeably, would you please be humble? Would you please admit your need for God? Would you please bow down before Him and ask to be lifted up? And if you make a mistake, just admit it. I'm sorry. I was wrong. God help me. And guess what God will do? He will help you. Parents, we need to show them what this looks like. We got to show our kids what humility looks like, what a need for God looks like, and what it means to admit that you're wrong. Humility is crucial, and when we read the Word with this spirit, we will learn much. And if we read the Word with pride, it's as if we didn't read it at all. Let me turn it over to Sam Curry for our next section, section 5.
Starting in verse 33. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the paths of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life.
So this is my favorite section so far, because this is when you've kind of gone through the process. You've thought a little bit about the righteous around you, and you thought, I want to be righteous like Kim and Bruce are righteous. And you've kind of looked into your past and thought, you know, I used to think more about God. I really want that again. And you've looked around at the world and you've said, I don't want to be like the world. That is not the path that I want. Maybe I'm on it, but I shouldn't be on it. In section 4, you've actually kind of gone low. You've gotten to your knees. You've admitted your need for God. Now you just openly and unapologetically plead for God's help. If you quote no other section this week in your prayers, I would recommend this section. Here's what the psalmist did with God. He pleaded for God to teach him, to give him understanding, to make him walk in the path, to incline his heart to his testimonies, to turn away his eyes from vanity, to establish your word within me, and to turn away my reproach. Now, this is kind of an interesting, sticky situation because people wonder how God's going to do all that. Chris, what are you saying about how God's going to do all that? We know that God will do all that through the Word, but in the Word, He's saying, I am pleading in prayer to God, and I am asking God to shape me, fix me, mold me, humble me, crush me, reform me, educate me, guide me, and use me. And you say, how's God going to do that? I would give you a warning. Don't put God in a box on what He can do. How does God shape us when we ask Him to? How does God not shape us when we ask Him to? When we pray, God hears. He surrounds us with godly people who can help influence us. He gives us passages that can lead us. And providentially, young people, you're probably not going to believe an old guy like me, but almost more than passages and people, providence of walking through that life out there will show you so much of what God wants to do in your life. There will be opportunities and inclinations and scenarios, and when coupled with the Word and coupled with Christians, it will make great decisions. And so I would encourage you, young people and all people, when you pray and read or before you read, ask God to teach you, give to you, make you, incline you, turn you, establish you, and turn you away from ungodly, unrighteous things. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, we've put too much power in our own ability to get things right. And it's going to kill us if we don't fix it. You do better. You do stronger. You fix it. You know who fixes things? The Creator does. He fixes me. He shapes my life and He helps me. We need to trust more in the power of the Almighty. And so when we read and when we pray, we're expecting results because we're asking for His help. Let's read our sixth and final section by Sam Penn.
Starting verse 41. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. I will keep your law continually, forever and ever. And I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings, and shall not be put to shame, for I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes.
It's our sixth and final section for tonight's read. It's really beautiful. There are a couple of things that really stand out. Verse 44, I will keep your law continually. I will keep your law forever and ever. And in verse 47, I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. In the ultimate case, we're trying to build a
relationship with the law that we just love it. We love it because of how it's affected other people's lives. We love it about how it shaped us. We love the way that it makes us different than the world. And we love that it triggers us in and leads us to the things that God can do. But I think I have a final message for our young people. God isn't just challenging you to be a holy person. And I think we sometimes put the bar too low. Like, I just want my two younger kids to grow up and not make a mess. Not get into a bunch of trouble. Lay low and just hopefully they'll grow up, they'll figure things out, and they won't have too many problems. This text is challenging all of us and our young people. Not just to love God's Word and live God's Word and do the things in God's Word, but to share God's Word. It says verse 42, I will have an answer for him who reproaches me. We want our young people to know the Word, read the Word, and love it enough that when they're at school or at work or on some team and someone says something that's ungodly, it's not just that they won't join in. That's too low of a bar. We got great kids in this church. It's too low of a bar to go, we just hope you don't join in. You know what we want them to do? We want them to give an answer from the Scripture. Or from the teachings that we know of God. Verse 46, let me tell you, I will speak of your testimony. And I don't care before who. I will speak of your testimony. Some of that got moved around a little bit. But I will speak of your testimony before kings. I don't care who it is. I will speak of your testimonies. I will not be ashamed. That's the ultimate goal for all the Christians in this room. Not just to not make mistakes, but to not be ashamed of the Word of God and to stand up for it and to share it and to be the lights that Jesus died to make us. To be the lights that influence the world and the people who draw other people to Christ. We're not looking for our young people to hang in there so that when they turn 30, they can become evangelists. We want 16-year-old evangelists and 14-year-old evangelists. We want everybody sharing the Word of God. That's the goal. So as we get to the end of this, just a quick list of what we covered here, then we'll conclude. I love the way these sections work. It says in Psalm 119, 9 and 10, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Section 1, blessed are they who live by the law. I see it all around me and I want to do the same. Section 2, you know, I loved your word in the past, in my even younger years, and I think I'll return to that or continue to do so. I'm a stranger in this sinful world. I don't want to be in the world or of the world. I will live differently. I know grief, I know sorrow, I know sin. Most of it my own doing, I'm humble enough to admit, perhaps. I come to you for salvation because you can make me strong. You can help me. I call upon you, God, to guide me. Your word is power. I will never, ever be ashamed to stand up for it and to speak it. Never be ashamed. Never. Those are the ideas listed there. Something interesting, if you take this home and maybe you make some notes, as you read all of the other 16 sections, you'll find that it's different combinations of these six things. So it's kind of interesting to do on your own. But I'll tell you this, if our young people in the room tonight really believe all these things and live all these things and follow all these things, and this is really what your heart and your eyes are about, and you're ready to live like it, does it change this verse a little bit? I think it does. I'm not scared of it anymore. I don't have to come in and go, well, I don't really mean to follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. I don't mean go out and do what you want, but just know God's going to get you for it. I wouldn't use this verse that way. I would say these are children of God who love the Word and are wrapping it around their hearts and they cast their eyes on the faithful. Go out and take those hearts of yours and burn with passion in a good and godly and holy way and change the world. And be optimistic and be joyful and enjoy that youth because chapter 12 says you're going to get old and it's not going to be any fun. Oh, I thought there might be an amen. You're not going to have that energy you've got. Use it beautifully. You don't know what's coming, and that's kind of the exciting part, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I don't know what's coming my way, but I know how I'm going to face it. I want our young people to have optimistic, joyous views of their value, their worthiness in Christ to be His, and the walk that they're on. If you're young or older and you read these things and you look at that and you say, I've been following the impulses of my heart, my emotions, but they've not been based on the Word of God. The Lord is so good to us and gracious. If we're humble, like we read in the middle of the read, and we come to Him and we come low, He always lifts us up. We stay high, you force Him to put you down. You come in low, He always reaches down and lifts you up. You need that? What a beautiful life it is to be lifted up by the Creator. Come now as we stand and sing.